Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On one. Tatum goes to Hayward left side. Hayward holding it. Can't return it to Tatum. Instead, Hayward hand off Jaylen Brown. 7 on the shot clock. Jaylen Brown turns the corner. Stops at the free throw line. Steps back away from Covington. Jumper no good. Rebound. Daniel Tice has it in the corner, but does he get the shot away in time? He hit it, but it's too late, and the Rockets have won the ball game.
Hour number two, Zulak and Bertrand from our Town Fair Tire Studios. That was an exciting end to regulation on Saturday night. But I felt the Celtics deserved to lose that game, and they did.
You sure did.
They deserved to lose.
I watched a good chunk of this game. Yeah, you're up 12 there for a while. It's sort of stuck there. Then they went a little bit of a run, cut it to 10, get it down to 8, and it stayed there at 10. Then you just let it go away. You're standing around waiting for Jason Tatum to do everything for you. On a night where he's cold, you got nothing from Gordon Hayward. Like, Hayward could be a problem for this team.
You know, I feel like he's becoming a problem. He is a problem.
Like, and we say, like, okay, like, you defer. Okay, when Kemba comes back, you got him, you got Brown, you got Tatum. Like, he is by far your fourth option. But Jesus, on nights where you got people out, that's the type of night he's got to step up. Right?
And he shot in this game. He shot 50% in the game. Does it feel like he did?
No.
Because all I think about is, like, when you need a big shot from him, where the hell is he? I don't know. And that's not backed up with anything other than just the eye test.
This is the bad part of it, because, like, when you need a big shot or somebody needed the ball to do it, you watch Pierce work and how he would want the damn ball in those situations. Gordon Hayward never does that. He just stays out there and floats. Doesn't seem like he ever demands the ball, wants the ball in the big spot. You know, Tatum's more thin to that. Now, it's Jason Tatum's team. But damn, on a night when he's off, Jesus, that should be your night, Gordon. And it's not. This is why Celtic fans are pissed at this guy now. Because you're close. You're close. The door's open a little bit here. Danny didn't make any moves at the trade deadline. This is your team. Like, he's doubling down on you. So do something with it.
Houston in this game, as they do like every night, they obviously play small. And so the Celtics, that immediately when you have like an athletic team that plays that way, you immediately are wiping players out for the Celtics. Cantor didn't play. And you had Robert Williams didn't play. And so you have situations where for the Celtics, I think with Kemba Walker out, you're already just playing the numbers game here. You're at a disadvantage going into that game against the Rockets. And surprisingly, Celtics opened up a big lead early.
Yeah.
And I thought, all right.
They were comfortably playing with a lead that entire game, double-digit lead. And then just let that thing, not the whole game, but like through the third quarter.
Early in the first half.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, this is going to be a good night. It wasn't a great night. In fact, I don't think the Celtics really had an answer for how the Rockets really played strong defensively. And so a big part of this is hard to really look at and get any real answers because Kemba's not out there.
Right.
But you're basically leaving Tatum on an island to take shot after shot after shot, and a lot of them aren't great looks, and he didn't shoot well. He didn't shoot well in the game. That wasn't working for them. And so I look at it, and there were just times where the Celtics appeared to not be as strong in terms of the hustle as you got from Houston.
Boy, did they go to the hole.
And so, I don't know. I look at that game and say, no, they Sorry, you needed to hit more big shots. I'm sorry, Marcus Smart. You can look at his late three and talk about how ballsy he is and, you know, gritty and all those things. But, you know, he missed like three in a row before that. I look at that game and say, no, they didn't deserve to win that game. They didn't. I want them to play that game like I wanted them to play a lot of games recently with Kemba out on the floor. At what point do we start to get concerned about Kemba Walker not playing?
Well, Coach told us, what, 10 days ago? Last time, not we didn't even talk about Kemba, I don't think, the last time. Was there something to be concerned with? Nope, absolutely not. Something where we looked at it, and he mentioned the fluid being drained, right?
Yes.
So when you're taking fluid out of a knee,
the same way.
That should be a red flag. When you're draining fluid out of a knee, that's a little chronic. Because you go back in there. That's like, you know, elbow sacks, all that stuff. Like, there's a problem. There's a reason why your knee's swollen that way. So he said, we're trying to be proactive and get ahead of it so we don't have to have that problem. What's the smartest thing for us to do? Is there a bigger timeline than we know as far as what his layoff is going to be? You know, how much activity is he doing? It's just, you know, you have to get his legs back in shape. Just keep sitting out like this. Right, so it's one thing to be proactive and smart about it, but it's another to start questioning, you know, how concerned should you be at this point?
Yeah, I think it's fair.
Hey, we're in March now.
So, do you remember when Kevin Garnett...
He played a damn all-star game, right? That thing's so important to everybody.
Do you remember when Kevin Garnett had his knee injury that ended up wiping him out of the season?
Yeah.
Remember how... I think we were on the air by the time that started. No?
No, because that was 2009. It was the year after they won the championship.
Okay, yeah, so it was the following year. We weren't on the...
Yeah.
And remember how they kept telling us he was coming back? Like, oh, he'll be back. And I want to say the injury happened right around the same time in the season. Like, right around the All-Star break, I think it was. Mm. And when that happened, it was like, ah, he's coming back. He's coming back. I have that sort of in the back of my mind as a fear. Like, what if it's one of those situations again where we all accuse the Celtics and the medical guys and all that? Were those guys telling the truth the entire time?
I don't know. Did you start hearing about, like, Kyrie stuff, the details of what he has in the, you know, you screws and your infections and all that? And you're like, Jesus, kneecaps, all that. Like, anytime you start dealing with knee injury, man, with these guys, it's tough. Yeah, it becomes chronic. And then when you can't move, man, you're ineffective. And everybody thought KG was going to suck it up, too. I remember that. Nope. Never got cleared. Never got cleared. And that was the end. That was the breakup. And Perkins was gone. He's gone. They ended up doing that damn trade, getting rid of these guys. It was a bad ending for that. I hate the way it ends for basketball guys at the end, because you got to make the money match of expiring contracts and chipping guys off. It was just a bad feel the way that ended.
So I think if you're asking the question about have guys done enough to step up in the absence of Kemba Walker, you look at Jason Tatum and say,
that answer is yes.
Unequivocally, yes.
Yep.
Wow.
And it's only going to get better for him.
He has elevated his game. He has played better in the absence of Kemba Walker. And so that is a yes. Has Gordon Hayward done that for the team?
No. He's always the same guy.
I mean, Jaylen Brown's solid. He had that great shot at the end of regulation.
Yeah, but the effort's there.
Has anyone else elevated other than Jason Tatum in this absence of Kemba Walker?
No. Smart's the same guy. Now, your bench is what it is, but, like, you see the physicality and the athletic ability of Brown and Tatum. Like, you look at Hayward, it's just like, okay, he's a lanky shooter. Never feels like he wants to mix it up. Never wants to go to the hole. Never wants, like, demand the damn ball. Like, one of these nights has got to be yours, right, against a really good team.
Yeah. You know? I'll say this, though. We have been given in back-to-back weekends hugely entertaining basketball games
from
the Celtics.
Lakers and Rockets, yeah. So you tell me what's a snippet of the playoffs. You lost both games, right? At the end of
Yeah, but they have this out of not having Kemba, which is fine. It's fair. Sure. It's fair to say they lost both of these games without Kemba, because I think Kemba makes a difference in both of them. I think Kemba is enough to put them over the top in both of those games. I do. And so that to me is important to say and add that to it. They're probably coming out with two wins. But either way, these games have been wildly entertaining the last two weekends. Kemba would have made a big difference. The more this happens, the more I'm concerned about there being no Kemba on the floor.
Yeah.
What's the deal? When's he going to come back? I thought maybe, I'm thinking, oh, you know, maybe it's Saturday. last week, a week ago. You'd think, oh, maybe he'll be back by this weekend. Rockets at home.
Yeah, so the Time Lord gets clear, too. Game. He didn't play. Yeah,
yeah, I don't blame him. Do you blame Brad for not playing him?
No.
That is not the game for him, man.
No.
That is not the game. I think that was the right call.
See, so that's
what about Kanter? Do you think it's the right call that he didn't play? He would have gotten owned defensively. He's brutal defensively.
Yeah, but you knew that when you got him.
All right, so you get the offense.
You're telling us everything we knew about when you got this guy.
That's who he is. He's not defense. Very good.
Right.
Like, that's what it is.
Yep, but they like this team and they're not making any money.
Great, you had offense and you just immediately give up points on the other end. He's a liability defensively. So, no, I don't fault the coaching on that either. But they've got to figure out who that second option is when you don't have Walker on the floor. You can't just rely on Tatum. And the team's getting a little too reliant on Tatum. And I think it was a problem. I think it was a problem in that game. He was 9 of 27. I think that was for a reason. So we'll talk about that. But also, let's play a fun game.
What's that?
Who would you trade Jason Tatum for?
What?
I'll give you four options.
Oh, okay.
Four options. You say yes or no.
Okay.
I kicked this around with T-Bone earlier. He said he would trade Jason Tatum for all four guys. Any of the four, he would trade him for.
Wow.
They
must be really, really good guys.
I think it's a fun game to play. We'll do it next.
All right.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
8 minutes remaining right now. Tatum starts his drive on House right down the middle. Finger roll is up and good. The two long stride gets to the rim, and the guy who jumps out of his seat under the basket pumping his fist is the guy that used to do that here with the long strides. His name is Paul Pierce. But tonight in the fourth quarter and over the last month, Jason Tatum has been the truth.
We're clearly watching the emergence of Jason Tatum, NBA superstar, which is why we're now going to try and trade him. No, I'm kidding. That's not why we're trying to bring this up now. During the offseason, a lot of people were kicking around Tatum's name as Tatum or Brown. If you had to trade one, which one are you going to move on from, right? That was still a conversation. In fact, I feel like that was a conversation for the first 2 years of their career.
I took Brown because of the athleticism. Yeah.
You wanted to keep Brown.
I wanted to keep Brown.
Tatum.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good point to check in with you. Who would you keep now?
Tatum.
Yep. And I think those who are picking Brown before are probably seeing the light with Tatum.
That took a while. And I'm glad that he took it by the horns, because some young players don't do that. You forget, kid's 22. He's 22.
Well, so is like everybody in the NBA.
I guess. Yeah.
So on Friday night on the Gary Tangway show, or early edition, if that's what you want to call it. I call it the Tangway Show. We were apparently recycling a segment from the night before. I didn't even know this part. Do we have the sound of that? Is that available yet or no? Tell me when it is. Chris Forsberg was kicking this around the night before. I think it's a good sort of check of where things are at. Here it is. Here's the question, which is, would you trade? And I'm going to tell you how we did it Friday. We did, would you trade Jason Tatum for one of the following? And the three guys on Friday we used were Zion Williamson,
yep,
Luka Doncic, and also, why am I drawing a blank? We threw in LeBron as the bonus. Oh, and Giannis. Giannis, Doncic, and the last one was Zion. We threw in LeBron for like a fun kicker at the end. Here's Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, the night before.
If you were to trade Jason Tatum, yeah, who would be on your list? Okay, would you ever trade Tatum for Mitchell?
Donovan Mitchell goes in the no pile.
All right, what do you got? Hey, LeBron, would you trade him for LeBron James?
I would not trade him for LeBron James.
Just,
LeBron
the age
is great.
Thing,
it's
right?
The age thing, right? Like, he's 35. Like, I do think, you know, part of me sits there and says, well, you put LeBron on this team, maybe you win a title, you know, in this fictional universe that we're doing, if you did it this year with the talent around him, right, or next year.
Okay, now here's the question. Kawhi.
Ooh, Kawhi Leonard, where is he? He's not even on our list.
He's not even on our list, but nonetheless, go ahead.
I got bamboozled. So, no, if he's not on our list, I'm not trading for him. So, look.
Really?
Yes. Because
you wouldn't trade for Kawhi. How come?
Jason Tatum doesn't need to take every three games off to rest the knee and load right, manage and all that. And Kawhi is getting older. Ooh. I do love his game, but What is he offering that Jason Tatum can't potentially become?
Okay, we'll keep going with the hit parade. Westbrook.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that one either. Okay, Harden and Davis. James Harden and Anthony Davis. Still a no. Anthony Davis, no.
Man. As we said.
You and Sherrod are drinking a Kool-Aid, kid.
All right. He sounds like Cartman.
Oh, no. He's coming to kill me. Who killed Kenny?
He sounds like Cartman. That just hit me. And I see him all the time on there, and I never think it. Now you just, you get the video.
Oh, no. Oh, holy night.
All right, there's a lot of no's.
Let's do your four
on Tatum, and so let's start. Ready?
Yeah,
I've already answered it. I can just tell you after what I already did. Let's go. Ready? So when it comes to Tatum, would you trade him for Giannis?
Yes,
as would I. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, great God.
Would you trade him for Luka Doncic?
No.
That was a very quick no from you.
That guy's got size in it. I'd go with Tatum. I just think the upside's better there with Tatum.
Okay, this is what I said to qualify.
That type of size, like you can shoot?
In a vacuum, you look at Doncic and you look at Tatum, and I mean, how do you not fall in love with what you see?
I know.
Doncic in his first season plus, okay? Yeah. So I would say no because of the real world implications. Like, you're building a core here.
Right.
At some point, you got to remember that you do have, like, real-world chemistry and implications and how you're perceived by your current players on your roster, future players on your roster, all of those things. You can call it horse trading all you want, but these are not horses. These are humans. Like, you've got to remember that. And I don't think the upgrade is worth it. Like, it's not enough for me to say, yeah, no, absolutely. No, I mean, I could see why you do it. Let me put it that way. I can see why you do it, but ultimately I'm a no. I wouldn't make the deal.
Yeah, keep Tatum.
It's not enough of the upgrade, and I think Tatum's potential is really, really high. So I think he could end up being a much better player than him. So that's a no. Zion.
Yes.
Hell no.
No?
You guys are nuts if you're going to trade him for Zion.
Power, dude.
That is a short-lived thing.
Nah, you get somebody around this guy that where once he gets in shape and becomes a man, he's not even a man yet.
Big guys with knee problems, no thanks. I've seen that act before. He's great. He is phenomenal. He's going to be great for however long he is playing at that level. But I'm not doing that. You have a much longer future with Jason Tatum. The bonus one was LeBron James.
Yeah, figured. See, the problem is LeBron's age. And you're on team what, 17 now? He's the greatest player in the world.
I'm a hard yes.
It's LeBron James.
Yes. And I'll tell you why.
It's like Brady. Hey, would you get Brady 43?
For the same reason I wouldn't trade Tatum for Doncic, I would trade him for LeBron.
LeBron takes over.
Yes.
Yes.
Real
LeBron
world.
Takes over.
You know what happens when you get LeBron on your team?
Everybody watches.
First of all, you get what is one of the best players in the world. He's not the definitive best player in the world anymore.
It's changed.
But I think that when you add him, first of all, you have a shot at a title instantly, number one. And you know that, and it's in stone. And then, oh, by the way, he brings people everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
LeBron is never alone wherever he goes. Only for short periods of time. It changes the entire perception of the Celtics. Everything about it changes. LeBron, yes, you do that deal. No doubt about it. But that's what it's going to take now to do a deal involving this guy in my mind is like, oh, yeah, you got to go for Giannis or LeBron. Those are the guys you argue about. Are they the best players in the league?
That alone.
But that's the type of guy it would now take for me to want to trade Jason Tatum.
The type of comparisons is telling. Whether or not you agree or who cares if it's 1-for-3 or 0-for-4. The fact you're comparing him to these guys at this stage of his career is pretty impressive.
I mean, there are people calling us in the summer months ready to give the young guys away on this team. Trade them all. And now I just think that we can all agree. We've all sort of changed our opinions of what it would take to move them in a deal. 617-779-0985. Would you or would you not deal Tatum in any of these deals and these names that we've offered up? And you can keep going down that list. Anybody else on that list stick out to you? The Forsberg list?
Let me see here.
Really?
Yeah. Kawhi's interesting.
No. Oh, that one came up too. No, yeah. I'd say no to him.
Yeah, it's a big problem.
You know why? Because people assume that Kawhi's like, oh, he won a championship. He, you know,
he's good.
Carried Toronto on his back, blah, blah, blah. I still think he's nuts.
Yeah. Ooh, Kawhi Leonard, where is he? There, no. He's not even on our list.
He's not.
Ooh.
It's Cartman.
Freaking Cartman.
And credit to Sherrod Blakely, who said the other night that, hey, you know, there's a lot of similarities between the Celtics and how they run their organization and the way the Spurs run their organization. How did Kawhi handle being a member of the Spurs at the end?
Not well. That's a good point.
And so how would he handle being a member of the Boston Celtics?
If you could sit there and not want to play for that team and that coach, yeah.
Yeah, you must be crazy.
You must be nuts.
You must be a little nuts.
You got a little AB in you.
Which is exactly what I think he is. That guy's a little crazy. I don't need the crazy on my team. I don't need that act. Oh, when all of a sudden he doesn't, you know, want to play there anymore, he goes home. He just packs it up and go, I'm hurt. Injury, I'm going home.
From what I just heard from you, you got LeBron and Giannis, the only two guys you trade him for
those
on that list.
Those are my two yeses right now.
Where do you
that want? Is a really green team response right there, fellas.
That's it, like you're saying no to Doncic, yeah. And then Zion.
Yep.
So where do you
Zion? I don't even have to think twice about.
Like, yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
I'm good. I'm all set on that.
Where do you rank Tatum in the NBA right now? Top 10?
No, he's not there yet.
Okay.
What do you want, top 10 ranking now?
No, just going from his list there, those are two.
But just because a guy is in the top 10, and I think he might be ranked higher, if you're going to rank them, doesn't mean I'm doing the deal.
Oh, where's Thompson? Where's Curry? Where's all those guys?
Where do you rank
Where's Durant? Well, I mean, where's Durant, Curry, and Kyrie when these guys are all healthy, too? Yeah, I think he's...
Well, we're not talking about when they're healthy. We're talking about right now.
Like, if you're ranking NBA players, Kawhi Leonard ranks ahead of Jason Tatum, but I'm still not doing the deal.
He's probably around 10.
He's earned that respect, though.
He's in there close.
He's top 20.
Team LeBron All-Star.
See, I don't think it's based on just his ranking and where he is right now. It's about seeing the potential of where he's going to be in 2 or 3 years. That's what I'm more concerned with here.
All right, well, you're talking about right now. See, if we
If you listed the players, you might not get him. He might not land in the top 20. I'd have to do it for myself, but. Would it surprise me if he was like 25? No, it wouldn't. A lot of good players in this league. But just because someone would rank higher than him doesn't mean I'm ready to do the deal.
Guy like James Harden. James Harden's a good player.
Right.
Yeah. Westbrook. Yeah,
right.
Good player.
Of course, Westbrook.
And potentially put them ahead of him. Yeah.
No, they are. They're both ahead of him on the list.
Yeah, but I think when you go down it and you put guys like Durant and company back in there, and Curry, you're taking all those guys ahead of him. I'll put him ahead of him as a player in the league.
617-779-0985. Thoughts on the Celtics? Bring him to the table. Some Sox thoughts and updates from the fort over the weekend. Zoe's laughing.
Yeah, what are you laughing?
I don't know who he's laughing at.
Is their PowerPoint presentation over? Did Hein finish it yet? Give him his vision
there
board
may
yet?
Have been a PowerPoint. Oh,
they're going to be a beaut to watch.
That's next.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, let's talk a little baseball. That makes Sol laugh because he hates baseball.
I didn't have to preface it with that. I would love to be in that room, though, with the little introductory discussions with the new general manager and the PowerPoint presentation that Hein Bloom gave for them and the expectations, just to let them know what he's thinking and some of the stuff that he's dealt with before, so everybody's on the same page. It's good to get on the same page.
All right.
Here's a good old ball club.
Here's a tweet from over the weekend. It happened on Saturday.
Shaughnessy's been on fire with these.
And it's from Ian Brown.
Yeah.
This is where I saw it. I don't know where you saw it. But
yeah, Shaughnessy retweeted it as the transition to the Boston Rays continues.
He says, one interesting thing to come out of this morning. Hein Bloom is basically going to give Ron Renicki and the coaching staff a primer on the opener tomorrow. I wonder if it will be a PowerPoint presentation. How does that meeting go?
Well, I mean, Renicki's new to it. He gets it, right? It's been around the game forever, though.
What is there
though.
To get?
I don't know that the transition that has taken place here. Like, you've got a gig. You've got some experience here with this ball club. You knew who the former GM was. You know who the new guy is. And sort of just listening in as they all four walk together and talk together. Henry, Werner, Kennedy, and him. Bloom. It's right. It's a combined effort here. We're all in. We're gonna be all in. Everybody on the same page, right? Collaborative. Like, that's the part of it he should get. Collaborative. That they're gonna talk a lot. Sort of like the Cleveland Browns. You know, if I'm the owner, hey, give me your game plan on Fridays and Mondays, and we'll talk it over. That's what Renicki should get ready for. A little meddling. Like, let the guy go coach his baseball team. Let him be the manager there. Like, what do you need to talk to him about? You ever hear about this before?
Of what?
Of just giving him a dissertation as to the way things are should go around here. A little primer.
Okay, a primer. Okay, well, he's giving him a primer on who the opener is.
You've had no meetings with this guy before? All of a sudden, you're going to do it before the first game, right out of the box.
Okay, I'm guessing. Well, no, it's not the first game.
Not first game, but yeah, first game was last Saturday, previous Saturday.
He's talking about the pitcher that's starting the day.
Yeah.
So I just want to know, like, what do they tell them? Like, hey, when he sucks after an inning in a third,
what are your expectations? You, what is it, 3 1/3?
Like, what is there to talk about? Is there a primer on the starting pitchers, the guys who can actually go more than like 2 innings? What's the primer on those days?
Depends what the computer tells you, right?
Why is someone who's in as high of a position as Chaim Bloom doing that? That's my question. What? There's nobody between Chaim Bloom and the manager to do some sort of presentation or some sort of meeting on the strengths and weaknesses of a guy who's about to play for the team? Like, Chaim Bloom, the guy who's the baseball boss of the Boston Red Sox, needs to go down to the manager and talk about some guy who's going to last, like, less than 2 innings. I didn't even check and see how long he did last. What are we doing? Is that the micromanaging
that
Chaim Bloom is going to do?
Yeah. Like, this is the way, hey, this is what I've done it other places, and they told me I'm going to have some freedom to do this, and this is what we're going to do here.
That's what I'm concerned with.
Yeah, you should.
What
be.
Is that?
It's odd.
What does everybody else here do if Chaim Bloom has to be the one to go down and talk to Ron Renicki about the guy who's pitching on a given day? I thought this guy was much higher than that. I thought this guy was upper management. He has a general manager who works underneath him.
Yeah.
And the general manager typically has people that work underneath him. What is that? How bizarre is that? Oh, please, go down with your PowerPoints on a guy who's an opener, who's not good enough to be a starter.
On your backpack. Still carrying his backpack around.
His team. What is all of that? It's very confusing. I don't like any of it. I don't know why that's necessary. Can I tell you something that makes Ron Renicki look good?
What's that?
Ron Renicki has decided to take down the radar. How do you like that?
That's good.
Ron Renicki explains why he's hidden the radar gun readings at JetBlue Park over the weekend. He said it's by design. And that no good can come of overextending.
Yeah.
He said, you guys all see what pitchers do. They throw a pitch, then it's rub here. The eye is right on the radar. Right now, that's not a good thing. So I think as much as we can stay, and I realize that fans want the radar up there.
Fans do, yes.
We'll get it up there when Bushy feels like, okay, they're beyond the point. We can start putting it up there. What he's basically saying is, I don't need this thing up there to A, distract the guys, or B, have them try and throw harder.
Yep.
So get rid of the stupid radar. We don't need the radar.
Smart. You don't want to overextend or throw your arm out. It happens to everybody. You get up there and you think, oh, that one felt good. I felt like I was 80 hitting 88. Holy Jesus, hit only 83? I got to reach back a little bit more on the next one when he calls it. Yeah. You don't want him to do that.
Now, this is very old school of Ron Renicki, and I think it's great.
Yeah, I think the pitchers would appreciate it, too.
Score one? No, I bet they hate it.
You think?
Yes.
Okay.
All these young pitchers, this is what they're all about. They've been raised in that thing, looking at the radar gun, knowing what they're throwing all the time. No way. They probably hate it. And he's like, screw your radar gun. Go out there and pitch. How about you focus on pitching well and stop worrying about what the speed of the ball was? I think it's fabulous. I'm starting... starting to think differently about Ron Radke a little bit. Ron Radke, you're winning me over a little bit with that move.
Maybe he'll take that replay room away from J.D. Martinez.
Maybe. Hey, how about you just go out there and hit? How about you just go out there and do what they pay you millions upon millions of dollars to do?
Yeah, swing angle guy.
Forget about launch angle. Just hit the ball.
Isn't that part of the story, too, that they've retooled Jackie Bradley Jr. again? It's going to be more of a flatter swing so he could slap singles and doubles.
Latest on the Red Sox investigation. That's another item from over the weekend.
I thought Pete Ames had it. It was coming down the wire beginning of last week.
Joel Sherman, New York Post, says a decision from the league isn't expected this week.
Oh.
But that it's expected before the regular season. Well, that's exciting. That good for you?
If you get it now, or if you get it right before the regular season, unless Renicky's in on it. I mean, Jesus.
It says, not expected to announce the findings of its illegal sign-stealing investigation this week. The plan is before the regular season. Word is that the scheme was not as systemic or widespread as that of the Astros. The penalties are not expected to be as severe. Meanwhile, the Dodgers checked in with baseball to make sure Mookie Betts wasn't involved before they traded for him. Interesting move by the Dodgers.
Yeah, Mookie's numbers. Are they reflective of being in on this?
Apparently Mookie was cleared by baseball. So that thing isn't an issue for Mookie. And one more thing, David Price loves L.A.
You can have him.
Did a story over the weekend talking about how much he loves it out there. Are you surprised? No. In fact, I expected this.
Yeah.
He says it's great. Loves it.
Love having no media.
He loves it. Absolutely adores L.A. already.
Unbelievable.
He's going to be so good out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, he's going to have a great season.
Comfortable.
Mookie's going to have a great season. David Price is going to have a great season. I've got to re-up the baseball package. I'm going to start watching the Dodgers.
What are you talking about? He said, you come into the clubhouse now, and it's like two or three guys standing around, not even asking him questions, you know, not bugging him. After he and Mookie got that introductory press conference, a couple questions thrown away, and that was it. They're walking off. This is it.
I'm all in on the Dodgers now.
This is a piece of cake.
Go Dodgers. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for the Dodgers. For the way they got hosed by the Astros.
Okay. Now you're coming around.
And for the fact that they wanted Mookie Betts. Yeah. I'm a fan of teams that want Mookie Betts. I am.
Oh, you don't want him? We'll take him.
I'm going to get a Dodgers hat.
It's a nice hat, though, dude. Beautiful hat.
Order one of those. I need that.
It's top three, right?
They're going to be my West Coast team this year.
Yankee hat, the Red Sox hat with the B.
Yankee hat, gross.
That?
Gross.
Love the Yankee
hat. Get lost with your Yankee
Love that
hat.
Logo.
Trash.
Love it. That's the Dodgers.
Great logos. So loves the
St. Louis.
Secret Yankee fan.
St. Louis. Love the Cardinal hat.
Yeah.
Tell you what, Texas got a good one, too. Texas and Seattle. Seattle's not bad. That's about it. Yeah, I'm too
Any more hats you want to name?
Nope. Okay. Pittsburgh Pirate. Go back to the old one. I love it.
617-779-0985 with the yellow stripes?
Yes, the yellow stripes.
Around.
Like the old timer.
Boxy.
Old timer cap. Looks like a
flat
cap.
Top.
Yes.
Yeah, you like that one.
Love it.
You like that one. Tony Romo, going to be a rich man. He's going to make a lot of money calling games on CBS. Zoe's still waiting for his call. We'll talk about it coming up next.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
This was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Take a look right here, Jim. If he comes downhill, they're going to throw this fade down at the bottom. If not, see if he does it.
That's Cyprian stepping up. In the pass, you had it, Tony, and it was off the hands of Cooper. They were looking that way. It wasn't the fade, but Cooper ran a different route. But that's what Carr read, just like you did.
Yeah, you're reading. You're running a fade or a slant.
Tony Romo, congratulations. Tony Romo made close to $130 million playing quarterback in the NFL. And now he's going to make $17 million per season working for CBS, according to a report over the weekend, first by New York Post, followed up by others. $17 million. Holy smokes. The previous reported high for a color guy on an NFL broadcast was John Madden at 8 million. Madden was making 8 million bucks at the end.
8 months less than that. Phil Sims, I think it was 2.5. I think the highest Sims got was around 2.5.
Romo's about to make 17.
A million a game.
Which is more than about 90%. This is what was reported over the weekend. $17 million would put him in the top 10% of NFL players at $17 million a year. There are current quarterbacks in the NFL not making $17 million a year.
Correct.
Tom Brady played last season and got $23 million, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. $17 million.
I don't understand why players are pissed.
Tony Romo is 39 years old.
Our players pissed. Right. We should sign a collective bargaining agreement because there's an announcer making more money. And it's not the league paying him. It's the network. Network pays the league. They do deals with the league. You make money off the networks. The league isn't paying him that. So what are you getting all pissed because an announcer makes it? If they want to pay him that, let them pay him.
It's a very, I understand why players are saying it, though.
Yeah, I totally understand.
When you get into the technicalities and specifics of it,
it doesn't apply, right.
But the optics of it, when you say, wait, the broadcasters make $17 million a year?
Yeah. You're breaking our balls over an extra game?
If the broadcasters are allowed to make $17 million a year and the league is so profitable and the league is profiting the way they are, and the networks are doing so well. If the networks are doing so well on this sport and on this game that they can afford to pay a guy who sits in the booth and talks about the game $17 million a year, and you guys just last week were trying to tell me we have to be capped, we have to cap our money. Now, this has since been changed, but you were trying to cap our money for an extra game every year? They're saying, get the hell out of here. That's why they're making that argument. Yes, is it completely neat and clean? Nah, not really. But I think it's just a point to prove how profitable and how successful the league is when you've got a broadcaster making $17 million a year. That number does speak to the popularity of the sport, and it speaks to how important and valuable, monetarily speaking, marquee games are in this league every week on Sundays. Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that window.
If the league's doing that good on those games, that the guy who just sits there and talks makes 17 mil, well we must be doing pretty damn good as a league.
Yeah.
That you shouldn't be trying to cap us on the 17th game, which again, I know it's changed since last week, but it was so ludicrous that I don't blame them for trying to throw it back in the owners' faces about how well their league is doing.
See, I look at it two ways too. And I understand like why guys like Thomas down there with the Saints is bitching about it. Like we shouldn't sign a CBA. Because you're out there, you're sacrificing your body. But it's also part of the presentation, right? If you're the marquee game, okay, there's your gladiators out there playing the damn game, going at it, having these collisions. And you also need guys like Jim Nance and Tony to talk you through it and describe what's happening. Sort of maybe take a guess. That's what makes Romo so good, right? He's a step ahead of it. He's telling you what's going to come. Instead of Phil Sims saying, hey, that was a nice pass. You know? I wonder what the fourth guy gets. I wonder what the D team gets. You know, the team that has to do like L.A. Chargers, Arizona game.
That's the call you're looking for.
It's the call I'm looking for. I'm going to call Georgie Schweitzer. We got to get in touch with him. We're gonna get in touch with those guys. D game. D game guys got to get what, a million? Million for the year? And who the hell's on the sidelines for those? Like the James Lofton guy. James Lofton does like sidelines for Westwood One.
After Team Three, they don't have sidelines. So the top three of sideline reporters had said,
I don't want a sideline guy.
No, you're right.
I don't need a sideline guy. I don't need a sideline guy.
Okay,
it's too much.
You're on your own.
Shoving a useless story in there.
Here are the guys who did games last year on CBS. Tony Romo.
Yeah, he's good. Good for Tony. Good for Tony getting this.
Dan Fouts.
I'm so much better than Dan Fouts.
Okay.
I am way better than Dan Fouts.
There's one guy you could replace.
Yeah, I could.
Fouts.
Tomorrow, I could do no homework and I'd be better in a game in Fouts.
It's amazing. They're number two.
Trent Green and Rich Gannon, and I won't blame any of you if you confuse the two.
I like those two. I think they're very robotic, but I think they give you good information. I do like those two.
They're the same guy.
They're the same guy.
Yeah.
Those guys should be ahead of Fouts.
James Lofton.
Oh.
Adam Archuleta.
Oh. Jesus, he's in on it?
Yeah, he used with Sparrow Dades. Jay Feely.
Jay's pretty good.
Not bad.
He's more of a sideline guy. Now, let's throw it down to Jay Feely. See what he's got.
No, he's just on the one. He doesn't have a game every weekend. Right. One, two, three, yeah. Four, five, six. He's on the seventh crew.
He usually has something for you.
Yeah. And the final one, Beth Mowins and Tiki Barber. That was a pairing last year.
Yes, Beth Mowins here.
I don't remember that. Well, you know why? Female version of Sarge. Because that was not a game that would have been here in New England. They were the final crew, and that means they may not have had work every single week.
Or Sarge, you sit there and say, 17. I'm the male version of Beth Mowins.
I don't do play-by-play, but sure.
Well, no, okay.
No,
I'm yeah. Obviously.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Okay,
yeah.
So yeah. the crew's on Fox. Where Aikman, these are the color analysts on Fox. Aikman.
Yep.
Charles Davis.
Boy, is he try hard. Tons of information. Yeah, keep going.
Rondé Barber.
I didn't hear him.
Chris Spielman.
I've heard him. I think I'm better than him. Try.
Moose Johnson.
Moose's good. Like Moose. Moose's been doing it for a while.
Mark Schlereth.
Schlereth has that Todd Christensen. I don't know if you remember Christensen back in the day. Smartest guy in the room type thing going. Schlereth is one of those guys.
How about Daryl Johnson? He didn't do it?
I just said.
Jesus Christ.
Did you say? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. I missed you.
The fact what you team said was, it, what, I even said, sorry, I what, like Moose. And what, Moose has been doing it for a long
what,
time.
What team was he? I'm curious.
He's like fourth.
Is he
third or fourth?
He's fourth.
Yeah, okay.
No, excuse me, fifth.
Sorry.
Wow.
Hosts aren't listening.
He's not a host.
Yeah, I'm not. Today.
So this is really the question. How many of these guys do you think you could replace and upgrade for the networks? I think there's quite a few there.
I think there's quite a few.
And you are available.
I am available. But it's a different call. So it's just extremely different
call. You're available and you're ready.
I'd be better. Yeah, I would. I know I would. Yep. It paired differently. It's, yeah, yeah.
Got to be neutral, though.
Of course.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
I've had this discussion with Boomer. Boomer's like, you can't go national. You can't do national. You'd get too excited. I'm like, well, I wouldn't get excited doing a team between two schleps. You know? It's like the Navy game. Jim said he listened to you. Hey, little baby steps you win within the game when you're getting
asked. So when you do the preseason games, have you tried to be very professional and down the middle?
No, but it's a different call. It's a totally different call.
I think you should. Do it as if you're Trent Green.
Tell you what, you get in a third, fourth quarter, and you haven't heard some of the names. Yeah, that'll tend to down tone. Mm-hmm. Take it down a notch. Yeah. Whew. Boy, so that's wow. What a bad field.
90 seconds.
Tell you what, it's top heavy though.
Like $17 million a year though.
Yeah, Aikman and Romo are good. After that, it's debatable.
Good for Romo, by the way. Congratulations, Romo.
Yep.
Great deal.
Good deal.
Love seeing anyone get paid.
Hell yes.
So good for you. Way to get paid. 617-779-0985. Noontime hours here. We'll get to it right after the headlines. No commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.